Amen. Y'all get your Bibles out. Matter of fact, before you get your Bibles out, I want you to kind of just try and get somebody high five, low five, no five, something. Give them a 105. God is awesome all the time. Praise God. Yes. God is awesome. Yeah. I'm not here trying to work the computer without my glasses on. I'm going to tell you what. Have you ever had one of those days? Praise God, praise God, praise God. Get your Bible out. Matter of fact, you ain't even got to get your Bible if you don't want to. I'm going to have it up here where you can see it. I reckon. How many has ever said, I wish I had the pressure in America, or I wish I had the tenacity, and I wish I had the awesomeness of those Old Testament guys? That I wish I had that strength and that ability, and I wish that I was just awesome like those guys so I could do mighty things for God. Anybody ever said that? Guess what? I'm getting ready to tell you something. Last week we talked about renewing your vision. And as we talked about renewing our vision, the Lord already had things in plan, already got together. I'm awesomely amazed at how God has everything put together, has everything ready to go. Everything is awesome. So here we go. Listen to this. Get ready. Elijah, a man like us. I mean, how many would like to be like Elijah? Then you need to get you some camel hair. And eat wild locusts and honey. How many like to do that? I mean, I've eaten some wild honey before, but it was in my oatmeal. And it was in my cereal. Amen. Okay. So here, get your Bible out. Before we do, I want to talk to you for a second. You know, wisdom out of the mouths of babes. I was going through this the other day, and I actually used this when I was at the Senior Saints, but I thought I would use it today too. Here's some of those revelations from children. Patrick. Age 10, never trust a dog to watch your food. Aren't you guys? He said every time we mention Patrick, it's a crazy guy. So now you got the best guy up there this time. Michael, 14, said, when your dad is mad and asks you, do I look stupid, don't answer him. He also is a wise man because he said, never tell your mama her diet's not working. Randy, age 9 years of age, says, stay away from prunes. I wonder how they got that revelation. Okay. Koyo, age 9, said, never hold a dustbuster and a cat at the same time. Naomi, 15, said, if you want a kitten, start out by asking for a horse. She's a diplomat, right, to start with. I can say she'd be working at the UN. Lauren, age 9, said, felt markers are not good to use as lipstick. Joel, 10 years old, said, don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat. Wise decision to be made, and probably he didn't make that decision. Aline, age 8, said, never try to baptize a cat. I remember one day I was in the church and I heard a commotion going on outside my office window. I could not believe the commotion I heard. And so I opened up the window to see what was going on. It was DC and Daniel and a couple other guys, and there was all kinds of commotion going on. I said, what are y'all doing? They said, we're playing church. And I said, well, what kind of commotion is going on? They said, we're baptizing a cat. I said, don't you know you can't baptize a cat? And they said, well, if he didn't want to be baptized, he shouldn't have joined our church. How many know that you were called to make a difference? Amen? Now we can stand. Now we're getting things back in order here. Now we can stand. Praise God. We'll read it right from up here. Read it right from up here. You can get your Bible out too. That's fine. But you can read it right here. Either one. Get your Bible out. James 5:17-18. Or you can read it right from up here. Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're alive and well on the throne, Father. I thank you, God, that we don't walk alone, Father, but we've got you by our side. I ask you, Father, to touch and anoint in a very powerful way. I ask you, Lord, to minister to us and through us, Father. Help us, God, to see you in a bright and shining light. And, Father, help us, Lord, also to see each other in a different way. I love you and I praise your name. Time is short. We've got to be on the ball. We've got to be on the stick. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, God, to be ready. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we praise your name. And the church said, amen. Look at somebody and say, amen. Amen. Get somebody high five, low five, no five. And say, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. Praise the Lamb of God. Now, I read this so many times. I used to, when I was younger, when I first got saved, I'd say things like, Lord, I wish I had that kind of faith that Moses had. And I wish I had that kind of faith that Elijah had. And I wish I could just do all kinds of things for you, God. But I'm just a common, ordinary man. Guess what? How many here would consider yourself a common, ordinary person? You're the one God wants to use. God chooses the ordinary to do the extraordinary. Matter of fact, when you give your ordinary to God, he gives it a super shot, and he puts his extraordinary in your ordinary. Amen? So just looking at this scripture, just to get another way through the Amplified Version, Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have, with feelings, with affections, and a constitution like ours. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heavens supplied rain, and the land produced its crops as usual. A man of like passions, meaning he has same feelings. His feelings would get hurt. You wouldn't say, well, he's Superman. No, his feelings got hurt. His feelings got frail at times. Also, he had affections. He had to fight the good fight of faith. He had a constitution like ours because he was human. That's why Elijah did not die for our sins. Jesus did. Moses did not die for our sin. Jesus did. Whoever you think is the most godly person in your family that has gone on to be with God, they might have died, but they didn't die for your sin. Jesus did. Every last one of us, we are human, we are frail, we are subject to fall, we are subject to faint. Amen? So let's just go a little bit further in this. In 1 Kings 17, which is where I'm going to pull the text from, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be not dew nor rain these years according to my word. Wow. Wow. That's some powerful stuff, isn't it? Can you imagine going and standing before the king of Israel and telling him that you're getting ready to go through a dry spell and nothing you can do is going to change? Wow. Let me tell you something. How many here know that we're called to make a difference? We're not called to take up space. We're called to make a difference. Everybody in this church right now, you are called to make a difference. Abraham Lincoln said, and this is all Abraham Lincoln. If you look up on the internet, if Abraham Lincoln didn't say it, who was it? It was Abraham Lincoln and Benjamin Franklin, one of the others. Either Abraham Lincoln or Benjamin Franklin. I saw a quote from Benjamin Franklin a little while back. The quote said, don't believe everything you read on the internet. Signed, Benjamin Franklin. Amen. So Abraham Lincoln said, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Wow. I want that one to sink in for just a minute. If you're not working towards a solution, it's like this. I hear people argue all the time about who's the president and who's in the Senate, who's this and that. And I go, well, you know, he says, you know, why do we even vote? And I say, we vote because it gives us a voice. And I find out they're arguing about who's in office and they didn't even vote. I got some of my family right now. I got a person in my family right now will argue me down, will take me to the ground, will bulldog me down to argue about who's in office and who's doing this and who's doing that. And I say, well, did you vote for him? No, I didn't vote at all. If you don't vote, listen, this is what it's talking about. It's like voting now. I'm getting political for just a minute. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. If you don't vote, then if you did not vote, then whoever gets in office, you voted for. Wow. If you do not vote, then whoever gets in office you voted for because you did not withstand what they were doing. So look, If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Abraham Lincoln said that. We'll find somebody from Benjamin Franklin now. Anybody can criticize, but it takes commitment to make an impact. Wow. I hear people all the time. They tell me how things have to be, ought to be, should be. And they tell me, well, if I was doing this, here's how it would happen, blah, 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 blah. And then I say, okay, then go ahead. Here's the reins. They go, oh, no, I can't do that. Well, it's in your power to do it. No, no, you said you had a solution. No, 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 no. I'm just going to set back. Just like I said, if the Christians had not have set back during this election cycle, if we'd all got in there and used our community voice, guess what? You would not have the two running for office that we've got two running for office now. Amen? But we sit back and be quiet because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. It's our country. We need to stand up. We need to say something. We need to take it back for Jesus Christ. Amen? Somebody asked me the other day, so you Republican or Democrat? I said, I'm a Christian. Amen. Amen. That's right. Well, go ahead. Go and give it all away if you're going to do it. That's right. Anybody can analyze the situation, but it takes action to change things. So, see, in times of crisis, and how many know we're in crisis right now? In times of crisis, watch this. It calls for courage and commitment. And so watch this. The Bible says we're salt of the earth, we're light of the world, we're ambassadors for Christ. We can learn how to make a difference by watching the life of Elijah. Now Elijah was a wild man, I'm telling you. If you were to see Elijah come in right now, him and John the Baptist, you'd think they were two bikers. Amen? They would be two bikers. They would come in, and they would be acting. So, you know, you'd see them coming here, they'd be having on the boots, and they'd have on the leather jacket, and they'd have on the beard and the hair. And some people look at him and go, I don't think you're godly at all. Oh, really? You see, too many of us judge from the outside and not from the inside. So Elijah's going to teach us something for every last one of us to make a difference. Now remember, yes, he's a bad to bone guy, but although he's a bad to the bone guy, the Bible says in James he's just like us. Amen? So here we go. Get ready. Somebody say get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Here's old Elijah. Elijah, he's central in Scripture. Did you know that? Elijah is central in Scripture. He lived 850 years before Jesus. Now, let's just talk about a little bit about him. His ministry was marked by miracles not seen since Moses. The last Old Testament prophecy is about Elijah. It said he would come before the Messiah appeared. It was fulfilled in the ministry of John the Baptist. Jesus even said so. John came in the spirit and power of Elijah. Elijah appeared to Jesus and Moses at the Mount of Transfiguration. At Passover, a chair is left open for Elijah at the table. They're wanting him to come back so the Messiah can come in behind him. So the door is always open in appreciation or anticipation for him. But out of all this stuff about Elijah, I still like the best description here. Elijah was a man just like this. Wow. Elijah was a man just like us. The only difference between us and Elijah is his calling. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, they'll say, well, I wish I could do this, or I wish I could do that. That person's got to be more godly because this is the way they sing or this is the way they play. And I tell them, no, 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 no. Your godliness is judged by the way that you respond to God, read his word, and let the word come out in your life. But let me tell you, you don't judge by what they do, because what they do is their calling. You know, you just because I'm up here and because I'm giving the word every week does not mean I'm more godly than y'all sitting out there. Amen? We're all godly in our own way. We just had different callings in our life. So Elijah had a different calling in his life, but ultimately Elijah was just like us. So watch this about old Elijah. I like talking about old Elijah. That's not what he was living in. Kind of sounds like today. Yeah, he was living in a divided kingdom. Anybody seen any divided kingdoms lately? And if you don't know where any are at, just go on up and go to Washington D.C. Yeah, Beaufort County. You can go anywhere. You can find a divided kingdom. So King Ahab was the most wicked king of the north up to this date. He married Jezebel. Her father was the king of Sidon and priest of Baal. Her name means, where is Baal? Jezebel brought Baal worship to Israel. She infiltrated the land with false prophets and priests of this pagan cult. She even killed God's prophets. Some bad stuff's going on here. Now watch this. Watch this. God is about to come on the scene in a very, very, very big way. And the way God's going to come on the scene is not going to come on through some great big pomp and circumstance, not some great old big airplane coming in. Now, here's how God's going to do it. God's going to take a guy wrapped in camel hair, wild looking, steps off of his bike and goes, bad to the bone, bad to the bone, bad to the bone. Okay, so here comes Elijah. God's getting ready to take Elijah, and he's getting ready to do something very special. And up until this point, you don't even hear about Elijah. You see, remember, up until the giant, you didn't hear about David. Up until the camels, you didn't hear about Rebekah. Remember, whatever you may be going through, this extreme whatever that you're going through today that's powerful, that's coming against you, that's hitting you hard, remember this. Whatever it is, you may think it's bringing you down. You may think it's taking you down. You may think the struggle is not even worth it anymore, not realizing that in the middle of this struggle, God is designed for you. This struggle is not going to tear you down. This struggle is going to pick you up. And the world or people or somebody that's never known of you before, once the struggle is over, they're going to know you've been here. Amen? I like to be like an old Timex watch. Take a licking and keep on ticking. Amen. So now, here we go. Remember, you can make a difference. What does Elijah teach us? Well, what does he teach us about making a difference? What does he show? Because he's just like us. So if Elijah's just like us, man, he's just like us, and the very first thing he does is walk up to the most powerful man in that part of the world and tell him, as God lives, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. And then walks off. I kind of think about, you know, that man that goes out in that commercial and thanks the cow for the milk that makes his yogurt. And he does this. He walks out there and he goes, thank you for giving that milk my yogurt. I don't think Elijah did that. I'm telling you, if it was nowadays, he'd get off his Harley. He'd be riding a Harley, not a rice burner. Somebody say amen. Okay. I can hear him going to the palace. Me, 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 me. Nice. As God lives, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. And he gets back on, and you hear the sound playing. But bad to the bone, he just drives on. What can we do? What does he teach us to help us make a difference? I'm going to tell you what right now. I'm going to tell you what Satan's doing in this last day, and I know he's doing it to a lot of us. He tries to do it to me. I know he tries to do it to you. You can say, well, that's not me. Yeah, it is. You know what he tries to do? He tries to beat you down. Take every mistake you ever made, beat you down with it. He tries to beat you with everything you've, every thought you have, everything that goes on, every problem you're facing. And no matter what difficulties you're facing, he takes them and he uses them to beat you. You know what? It's time to quit letting the devil beat you around the bush. Pull up the bush and beat him with it. Amen? Pull out the bush and beat him back. Praise God. So here we go. Number one. I love this. I'm glad you asked. How can I make a difference? But y'all did ask that, didn't you? Okay. Number one. Define yourself by your relationship with God. I'm not defining myself by looking over at DC, looking over at Brandon, looking over at Brother Billy, looking at Brother Steve, looking at all these guys. All these guys have got something special. They can bring Brother Baker. They can bring this special stuff. Both Bakers. Another big Baker, little Baker. Three Bakers. There's three Bakers there today. One Baker, two Baker, three Baker. Okay. So now, watch this. I don't define myself by y'all. Too many times we compare ourselves to each other and measure ourselves to each other, and we don't measure up, and Satan just beats us to death. You're not as holy as this person. You don't know. You're not as talented as this person. Well, you don't know the word like this person. You can't pray like that person. Let me tell you something. I don't define myself by what God has put in you. I don't define myself by the gifts God has given you. I don't even define myself by the gifts God has given me. I define myself by my relationship with an all-precious, all-holy, all-powerful, almighty God who split the Red Sea and made a way for David Linton to come to the cross and accept salvation. And I stand like I stand, not because of you, not because of me, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, you missed your part to clap right there. There you go. Go ahead. Elijah's name is a combination of two divine names, Eliahim and Yahweh. It means Yahweh is my God. You see, our personal identity comes from our relationship with God as our Creator, and Jesus as the Lord of our lives. He teaches something about this. Watch this. Listen carefully. Because somebody said, well, if I was born in that family, well, if that person had been my mom or daddy, or if that person had been my brother or sister, or if I was born in that region, or if I had this opportunity, wow, just what could I have done for God? Well, guess what? If you're trying to be David Linton, you've blown it. If I'm trying to be anybody else, I've blown it. Brandon, I love you, brother. I love you, Doug. I love you, BJ, but I ain't trying to be y'all. You know why? God anointed David Linton to be David Linton. That's right. I can be the best. I can be the best David Linton here in any of y'all. Because that's my anointing. Doug, you be the best neat hammer in here. That hammer. Amen. Because you're anointed to be Doug. When we realize that, listen, watch it. Oh, here we go. Get ready. I love this. Elijah teaches us this. Number one, watch this. I love it. Here we go. Now we're going to define ourselves, our relationship with God. You know, first, that our pedigree doesn't matter. Elijah came out of nowhere. We don't even know his background. We don't even know what's going on in his life. All we know is, here comes that Harley. It drives up to the palace. Elijah hops off of that thing. He jumps up and he tells the king, he gives him a message from God. He comes and says, I've got a message from God, and I'm here to give it to you, O King Ahab. Wow. You see, God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Because if God always used supermen, you know, I was watching that movie Batman versus Superman, and here's a little spoiler alert for you. Batman almost killed Superman. I don't know how he done it other than kryptonite. Wow. But the whole thing is, whenever all the stuff started coming really heavy toward them, there was Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. Superman and Wonder Woman just stood there. They could take it. Bam, 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 because they're super. Batman had to hide. Because he didn't have all those superpowers. And I thought about that thing. We see people think they got superpowers. No, they don't. We've got the power. And I guarantee you, if you had superpowers, God wouldn't use you because he couldn't get the glory. The Bible says he chooses the foolish things to confound the wise, the weak things to confound the mighty. God knows how to get glory. So here he goes, takes his biker dude, and he comes up, the biker dude, Elijah, and he comes up to the king who's all dressed in pomp and circumstance and tells him, hey, dude, it's going to get dry around here. This is not my word. It's God's word. Wow. So first, your pedigree doesn't matter. None of your pedigree doesn't matter. Your past doesn't matter. Elijah was from Tishba in Gilead, but we don't know about his family. We know that God's grace it can overcome anything. I don't know about all y'all's past. Honestly, there's a lot of times I don't want to know. Y'all don't want to know either. Okay, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I told you, every time I go to pit detention, I can minister to those guys, and once I find out what they're there for, or find out, look on Channel 9 and see them up there at the courtroom and find out what they're there for. Remember me telling you there was a guy I ministered to for years. And if you're out there for murder, you're going to stay there 2 to 4 years in that place. And that guy had been there 2 years. I've been ministering to him. He looked like a little youngin. He made me feel like he was one of mine. I always talked to him. He was always so nice and humble. And then one day I'm watching Channel 9. He steps up and he's up there for a double murder. He killed his girlfriend who was pregnant with his baby. Next time I went in there, I said, God, hold me back. It took me about 3 or 4 months before I could ever even look at him again. And I said, wait a minute, God, you don't define me by my past. Don't let me define him by his past. Amen. We don't even know all the circumstances. Don't even know what even happened. So I'm not God. I'm going to stay out of it. You see, a lot of times we could just get that holier than thou out of our eye. Man, what could we do? If we could get the telephone pole out of our eye, we would leave the toothpick alone in our brother's eye. So watch this. Elijah was a Tishbite. Knew nothing about his family. All we know is that he came from nowhere and God used him. Your background, listen, your background is not important. You hear me? Oh, it's important in the point that it's built you, but your background is not important. What is important is where you are today. That's what counts. Amen? Where you are today? What you doing today? So now I'm getting through. All right, how about this? I'm progressing. That's right. Y'all didn't even laugh. Y'all know. All right. Number one, his pedigree didn't matter. Number two, his past didn't matter. Number three, watch this. I love it. Somebody needs to thank God for this one. Your personality doesn't even matter. Somebody ought to say praise God for that one. Amen. I was in there in food line last night talking to a guy. Honestly, I actually almost reached across the counter and went, because when he talked to me, his mouth barely moved. He never smiled. I was cracking jokes, cutting up, and he just kept. Honestly, I thought that he had a quarter slot in his back. You put a quarter in, he checks you out. And I finally said, are you okay? And he went, yeah. And I was thinking about a thing. What if I was somewhere and I needed somebody to teach me or talk to me? Would he be the one I wanted teaching me and talking to me? No, because it really didn't get to me. I want somebody that's lively and full of life and can joke and cut and carry on, but that's just the way I am. That's my personality. See, everybody thinks about Elijah. He was controversial. He was abrasive. He was larger than life. Everybody always assumes that he's always angry, which I think he's kind of angry too when he calls bears down. I mean, a bear down to eat the kids in the woods because they caught him ball-headed. Fire down. Amen. So everybody's thinking, here's how this guy is. But you know what? He was also very subject to depression. So here he is. He's probably a choleric, and a choleric is a lion. And so he comes in here, he's confrontational, abusive, larger than life. He's almost angry all the time. And he knows a lot about depression. He was under the juniper tree. But James says in all of this, hey, guess what? He's a man just like us. So God used ordinary people who understood their times and decided to make a difference. So aren't you glad that your personality is not going to stop God from using you? Matter of fact, you know, here's how personality works. Part of your personality you're born with, okay? Then another part of your personality you develop. And so you got a two-edged sword here. One you're born with, and you know, like these babies, some of these babies, they just laugh all the time and cackle. You get some babies, they just cry all the time. Some babies are always just cheerful all the time. Some babies are just sad all the time. You know, it's their temperament. You're born with a certain temperament because of your genes. But at the same time, your surroundings can change the temperament. And so we see all this stuff going on here. And so I'm glad. I am so, so glad that God doesn't take our personality and go, you know what, I can't use them. Because God already knew what kind of personality you had. And because of your personality, it's probably why you're working where you're working. And because your personality is probably what's going on in your life now, while you're doing certain things that you're doing and you're around certain people and you're wondering, God, why you got me around these people? Because you got the personality that can talk to them. Amen? So your personality doesn't matter, because his definitely didn't. And this is going to sound like a misnomer. Your potential doesn't matter. Let me just stop that one right there. I don't mean that it doesn't matter if you got potential or not. This is in your own mind. I talk to people every day that honestly think they don't have any potential. I talk to people every day that think they can't do a thing for the Lord, or they really don't matter. I love Emmaus, and one of the things I love about Emmaus is I see guys step up to the plate who, when they first get there, as they're a pilgrim, they won't even talk, and then they go back and say, I want to be used by God, so they come in and start working behind the scenes. Then I see them in the talk room, and there's certain guys. When I went on my Emmaus walk, I had no idea. When I went on my Emmaus walk, there was an older guy. An older gentleman was our lay leader, our lay director. And the lay director was doing an awesome job, but I noticed he kept reading his notes all the time. He stayed right in the notes. And I noticed he kind of would stutter every now and then as he was reading them. And so right to start with, I was thinking, man, he's nervous. But I'll be all right. Well, when I went to the Day of Deeper Understanding a couple of weeks later, I found out until the Emmaus walk, he couldn't even read. And in order to be a lay director on a walk, he drove from over toward Ahoskie to Washington 2 nights a week to get with his English, to get with a teacher to teach him how to read and write. And he was in his 50s. Wow. God pulled something out of that man. See, we think we don't have any potential, or we think we can't, we're not up to the challenge. Let me tell you something. Some fail to see that although their God-given potential, they don't necessarily see it, and they feel they're inadequate to do anything for God. You're gifted by God, so face life with confidence. That's what Elijah did. So first, you gotta base yourself or define yourself on your relationship with God. Not man, not on what I've got, what I can do. I base my relationship or base myself on my relationship or define myself on my relationship with God. All right? Number two. I've only got seven things. No, I've only got three things. Depend on God with confidence in His Word. He says, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives. Wow. We just read that. 17 and 1. I'm here. I can hear him now. Getting off his bike and stepping up to Ahab, who's worshiping the prophets of Baal. And he steps up and says, my God's alive. Sorry about yours. Yeah. You see, number one, God is alive. And he's always at work. Even when you don't think he's working, he's working. Even when you think he has left you, he's still there. See, Baal was a lifeless idol, but God is alive and active. He's not detached, he's not distant, and he's certainly not dead. He sent his son, and Jesus said, I will be with you always, even to the end of this age, to the end of the world. You don't have to worry, I'm here with you. Whether you sense me or not, whether you feel me or not, whether you hear me or not, I'm still here. And I'm watching you, and I've got your back, whether you know it or not, whether you see it or not, I've got you. So God is alive and he's still at work. Number two, God's word is alive. The Bible tells us his word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Elijah's prophetic power was not based on, I'm getting the message. I was watching TV one night. I won't get into the guy, but this guy was saying, this was years ago now. This isn't now. This is like when I was 21, 22 years old. I'm trying to get all I can from God and trying to soak it all in. So I was watching this preacher on television. I didn't know at the time, but I found out he even owned two fountain boats. To own two fountain boats, you definitely got to be doing something. I couldn't even own one fountain boat, and I worked there. Well, I did own two fountain boats, but they were little bitty things about that long. I'd give them to Indiana for Christmas. They could play in the bathtub with them. And I was watching this guy, and he said, do you need something from God? He said, here's what I want you to do. First, he said, walk across the room and put your hand on the screen. I'm a TV technician. Walk across the room and put your hand on the television screen. That's one of the oldest tricks in the book. When you're working on the television and somebody, you're teaching somebody, I get behind the screen I'd be working on the back and say, I need you to come up here and I need you to put your hand on the screen for me for a minute. Okay, static electricity. He said, I want you to go across the room and I want you to put your hand on the screen. I'm going to pray for you and you'll feel the power of God. Notice static electricity. Oh, God was moving hard that time. Wow. Then he said, I want you to take your hand and I want you to draw your hand on a piece of paper and then put your prayer request in the middle, put $1,000 in it. I kid you not. Fold it up and send it to me. And I'm so glad my dear wife stopped me because I drew a picture of my hand. And I also gave it legs and I gave it feathers and I gave it a little Tom Turkey thing right there. I wrote it and said, do I look like a turkey? So I said, you know what, I'll give him a chance. So we needed a piano at the church. And so I wrote him a letter and said, you know what, you always talking about doing stuff for God, so we could stand about $1,000 to help us with a piano. He wrote back a generic letter, said, thank you for contacting our ministry. We really appreciate it. If you go ahead and send us your $1,000 donation. You see something? I'll tell you something. He didn't do that. Elijah's prophetic power is based on Scripture. If you want somebody to really do something that's going to fire you up, this might come and tell you the Word of God that pertains to what you're going through right now. You know, this was awesome. I walked into an Office Depot, not Office Depot, but another one, one of the other ones, Staples. I went into Staples the other day. I was looking for something. And so it was raining, so I said, I'll just go in here. Since it's raining, I'll stop, and I'll go in. I had Bethany with me, and we go in, and the salesman comes up, and I put my arm around him like I normally do. You know, most of the time I don't like to touch people. So I put my arm around him, and I yanked him to my side, and I started talking to him. I started talking junk, and he went. He said, come here. I said, what's wrong? He said, come here. He put me to the side. And he said, I was praying this morning about a certain thing. And he said, I asked God to give me a clear word from him that I know this is right. And if he'll do that, I'll be glad to do that. And I said, well, uh-huh. And then whatever I just told him was what he was praying about. And he said, whoa, that's awesome. And so then I started giving, and he said, but I got this problem. And then I just started giving him the word. And I started giving the word. He went, whoa. So then he calls over another guy. The other guy comes over, and he starts talking, and all I did was just open my mouth and start talking. And he went, whoa! David the great prophet weren't there. The Holy Ghost was there. And the Holy Ghost said, David, you decided you wanted to make a difference that day. You even said, God, send me where I need to be sent. Show me what I can do to help people. And that day, back to back, guys were going, whoa, but I was just giving them the word. But it wasn't David Linton. I even told them, it weren't David Linton. David Linton, I said, you can take my name, my signature, and 50 cent and buy a drink in some place. It's the Spirit of Almighty God. Amen. So now, get ready. Watch. God's alive. He's at work. God's word is alive. Here we go. We're getting ready to quit now. Jesus is up there flying. Hold on, we got to get him to slow down. Depend on God with confidence in his word as the Lord God of Israel lives. So here we go. I'm going to get ready to close. Matter of fact, I've only got 10 more slides. I'm going to 10 more slides. Some of y'all are counting even. Some of y'all are already counting when I said that. God says versus man says. Watch this. Here we go. Now, go ahead and look at somebody and say, now he's meddling. Look at somebody else and say, yep, now he is really meddling. Say it again so you're going to get it out of your system because I'm getting ready to meddle. I'm getting ready to meddle a lot, so I'm just going to go ahead. I'm meddling in my own life, too. Watch this. Elijah appeared in Abraham's court with this, or Ahab's court with this message. And then he disappears for 3.5 years. No rain. No clouds. No dew. When Abraham was at the brook, the Bible says ravens brought him food. You know what those ravens are? If you look it up in Hebrew, buzzards. And the buzzards were bringing him meat every day. You know where he got the meat from? Probably from the cows that were dying of thirst. Yeah, 33 roadkill. Amen. I just want to stop for a minute. I just need you to just think about this. See, we always tell God, here's what we need, God, and we need you to go ahead and do it. And God says, if you live by my word, give my word time to work. 3.5 years. He gets off his Harley, he pops up to the king, he tells him what's going on, and then you don't see him. The place is a shambles. It's getting worse all the time. People are dying. Animals are dying. But you see, God had a plan. And God's plan was to bring the people back to God. He was getting ready to do a revival like you wouldn't believe. But in order to get that revival, he had to show the people where they were living. And so this drought actually was symbolic of where they were living. Not physically, spiritually. The truth is, we all have droughts in our life from time to time. And there's times where we had this major drought. When we got this major drought, we're thinking God's working on everybody else. No. If you're having a major drought, God's not working on everybody else. God's working on you. You see, God wants you to be lively. God wants you to make a difference. And so he allows these things in your life not to destroy you, but for you to see. Physically, what's going on spiritually. So watch this. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 and 11, my word will not return unto me void. It will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. So we won't have a microwave. We live in a microwave society. We got computers. We got all kinds of things. Used to, we had pen pals. You'd write a letter, and it might take a week or two for the letter to come back. I remember living in Merritt, Trent. The only two places we could get a hamburger was either at Sally's Restaurant in Lowland, or you go to Oriental and get that hamburger for 10 cents. It only had one side on it, and that's the side the knife touched. I took the boys and let them eat one of them. They said, Daddy, this is good, but it's all bun. Matter of fact, that's where Wendy's got that expression from. Where's the beef? And I remember one time I was looking back at comic books and looking back at things, and I two box tops and 50 cents, and I'd keep walking around until I could find 50 cents, and I'd send it off, and I'd wait for 6 weeks for that little army set to come back. Nowadays, you go to the store, get what you need, come on back, there it is. I was telling Bethany the other day, Sunday we were shopping, and Sunday afternoon we had to go pick up some things. And I said, Bethany, when I was your age, not your age because now she's 25, but when I was a teenager, I remember that a lot of stores weren't even open. Remember that? If you were going to get anything, you better get it on Saturday. Because the stores weren't even open on Sunday, except for little mom and pop shops around. There might be something open. And so you had to learn to wait. And we waited and we waited and we waited and we waited. We didn't have all these fancy highways and these bridges and all this stuff. We waited and we waited and we waited. But now we got all this supersonic stuff. And so we're spoiled. And when God's trying to do a work in our lives, we want it done now. God, I need it now. Don't wait, God, because I can't wait. We want it now. You know what? Elijah taught us a very strong principle. If you're going to be used of God, you've got to give God's word time to work. You try to do it yourself, and in 10 minutes, you can make 10 years worth of damage in 10 minutes because you're trying to do it now, my way. Let God do it. Let his word work. His word will not return unto him void. Matter of fact, here's why. Watch this. The word of God is like a seed that takes time to grow. And when it grows, it produces a harvest of righteousness. See, the word will work. And then finally, he taught us this. If you want to be used by God, you got to dedicate yourself to God's mission for your life. He said, the God who lives and whom I serve. I'm going to go through some Hebrew right now. I want you to watch this. Whom I serve. That's some powerful stuff. You see, the technical expression of whom I serve is literally before whom I stand. It means literally to stand before the general. Stand in service of the king. To stand in service, waiting for orders. So it's not just whom I serve, I'm waiting on his mission. You see, Elijah stands before God as a servant stands before his master. We, a lot of times, don't get our marching orders from God. We get them from feelings. Matter of fact, sometimes I think for praise and worship, we could just get up and sing, feelings, nothing more than feelings. We can throw our faith away as we're walking out the door, feelings, nothing more than feelings. Get your marching orders from God. We walk by faith, not by sight. Don't try to get God to support your mission, but instead, submit yourself to his mission for your life and see what he's going to do both in your life and in his work for your glory. I walked up somewhere one day, and I saw that up on the wall. You see them all over the place. Advertising, you want to get a haircut, you want to go to some yoga class. How about this one? Matter of fact, I think I'm going to put that up on the wall by the back. You can make a difference. I will. One of the hardest things to accomplish is to mobilize an army that's not trained in combat. So why are they so strict on these guys in boot camp? Why are they so tough on them in boot camp? Because in boot camp, they teach them how to drill. They teach them how to take that rifle apart and put it back together, some blindfolded. They teach them how to do things that normal people don't do. And you get there thinking, I can't do that because I'm a normal person. When you get through, you find out, yeah, I can do that. When you're pushed to the limit and they make you do this stuff, they keep it. The Navy SEALs, wow. The Rangers, wow. Some of the stuff they do, but what I do is they drill them and drill them and drill them, and they get them ready. So then when the time comes, they follow orders. Feelings are gone. You follow orders. God wants us to affect our little circle, our bigger circle, and our outer circle. God wants to affect our families. God wants us to affect our work co-workers. God wants us to affect the people in the neighborhood, the people around in Edward. God wants us to affect. He wants us to affect people wherever we live at, in our neighborhoods. He wants us to make a difference. So when people see us, they'll know there's something different about me. The man that literally got me hungry for God worked on a different shift than I worked on. He came in as I was getting ready to get off. And he'd always come in because he was a supervisor. He would come in an hour early. And I watched him. And from the very first time I saw him, his name was Bud. From the very first time I saw him, he did not speak to me the first 6 months. I was on his team. I noticed something different about this man. He carried himself different. He acted different. Everything about this man was different. And whatever he did, he was just counting stuff and getting orders ready and making sure everything was right for the trucks and all this stuff in the warehouse. But whatever it was he had, it made me hungry for what he had. I was hungry for it. I said, what is it about this guy? I don't know what it is, but I sure want to be like him. Whatever. What is it? So finally one day, I pulled somebody to the side and said, "What? Who's this guy?" They said, Bud Williams. And I said, "What is it about this guy? I can't get my eyes off of him when he's moving around and doing stuff. It's just something about him. It makes me hungry." He says, "Oh, he's one of them crazy Christians. Don't mess around with him. He's one of them crazy Christians." And it started rolling in my head. Wait a minute. He's a Christian. And then I began to talk to him. As I began to talk to him, eventually, not by my own self, I got picked up and moved to the next team because they needed the electrical guy in B team and a computer guy. So they said, "We need you over here." So they picked me up, put me over on B team. Guess who I worked with? Every day. Bud. I was so hungry for what he had because he carried himself different. Oh, he didn't have the bowl cut. And didn't have the pants down to here and the sleeves down there. He was looking just like me. Matter of fact, just like me, except for he had an Elmer Fudd hat. I didn't have one of those. We dressed alike. Nothing different. It wasn't in what he was wearing. It was in what was carrying him. The Spirit of God. Even in loading a truck, the Spirit of God was carrying him. Even in just sitting down talking, the Spirit of God was carrying him. And then one of the last persons I talked to when I left Procter & Gamble was Bud. And he told me, I'm waiting for it to happen. He told me, he said, "One day you and I are going to sit on a pulpit together. We're going to carry God's word together." Because he said, "If God ain't killed you by now," talking to me. He said, "If God ain't killed you by now," he said, "we're going to get a chance to preach on a pulpit together." And he said, "You should have been dead long before now." Just y'all, some of y'all guys say that all the time, so you understand what I'm talking about. My wife even said the other night, she said, "I don't know how you can go in and do what you do and say what you say to people, and they just love it." "Hey, you got any snowman donuts?" And the guy at Krispy Kreme, and the Hispanic guy said, "Huh?" I said, "You got any snowman donuts?" He said, "No." And I said, "Did they melt?" All right. Let's all stand. I'll stand. Come play something, fellas. Don't you want to be a salt lick? I know you thought I was crazy when I threw that out there. When my daddy had those cows behind the house, they brought this salt lick out. And I said, "Daddy, that thing looks bad. Why does that?" He said, "It's a salt lick." I said, "Well, what's it there for?" He said, "The cows can't resist it. They'll lick it. When they lick it, they drink water." And later on in years, that's what I realized Bud was. He was a salt lick. Because every time I got around him, I wanted water. He made a difference. Are you making a difference? With every head bowed, every eye closed. First, I want to ask a general question. How many here, with every head bowed, every eye closed, how many here want to make a difference for God? Yes, hands everywhere. That's a good thing. Now, while every head bowed and every eye is closed, how many think you could do better than you're doing? I hope by looking at Elijah, you found out that God can do something with you. 3.5 years, Elijah comes back. And now, not only does he come back, but before there can be rain, he builds an altar. And challenges the prophets of Baal. Wow. Then he prays for rain. And God sends it. Doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you've been through. What matters is where you are now. And if things aren't working out exactly like you think they should, just remember this. Give God time to work it out. We used to sing that song all the time in the Church of God. And it tickled me because in Williamson Church of God, we would sing, give God, and that, this is where those guys were, a bunch of former drug addicts and prostitutes and stuff. And those guys, some of those guys were just fresh off the street. They get up in choir and sing, give God time to work it out, and go outside and fight like dogs. That's going to break up fights sometimes. Give God time to work His work. Everybody that will, come up, pray. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. Come on and pray, church. God, I want to make a difference. God, I want to make a difference. God, I want to make a difference. Trust Him, church. Trust Him, church. Trust Him, church. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. God is doing something special. Trust Him. You can make a difference. You can. You can. You can make a difference. In the name of Jesus, thank you. You can make a difference. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Let God use you. Let God show you what He can do with you. Ladies, you can make a difference. Give God's time to work it out. Give God's Word a chance to operate. Watch what God can do. Watch what God can do. His Word will not fail. It will not return void. Trust God to do what He said He would do. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
How He loves me. How He loves you and me.
God's awesome. All the time. That's all stand. God's awesome. Awesome, 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 and then awesome on top of awesome. He's an awesome sandwich. The difference is He is both sides of the bread and the meat in the middle. God is an awesome sandwich. Amen. Brother Doug, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?